Hello, and welcome to Emacs 30 Highlights at EmacsConf 2024. Before I begin, I'd like to thank the organisers and everyone involved for putting this all together. While the talk is being pre-recorded, my experience from the last few years assures me that it will be a great experience for everyone. My name is Philip Kalogerchich. I am a core contributor and ELPA co-maintainer. I was honoured when Sasha asked me to take over the slot for this year. In the past few iterations, John Weekly has filled a similar presentation focusing on more general Emacs development updates. This year, I will specifically focus on highlight features from the upcoming Emacs 30 release, which might or might not have been released by the time you are seeing this. As you can imagine, everything new about Emacs can always be found in the Emacs news file. Or alternatively, if one doesn't want to read through the multiple thousand or 3,000 lines here, one can also take a look at the Emacs FAQ and then go to the what's new about or what's different about Emacs 30 node. Next to these two official options, I also have a page on Emacs Wiki called Emacs 30 Highlights, highlighting some of the interesting features with some context and suggestions on how to try them out. This is more of a collaborative effort, so if you see this and think something is missing, feel free to add it. So, without further ado, let's begin taking a look at new features in Emacs 30. The biggest one, and the one I want to mention first, is Android support, native Android support. As you can see here, Emacs has been ported to the Android operating system. What this means is that from Emacs 30 onwards, you can build Android to be to target Android devices natively and using a graphical interface. While it has been possible to run Emacs inside of terminal emulators on Android for a while, this actually means that you can use Emacs on an Android device, a phone or a tablet, and have all the usual advantages from GUI Emacs, such as the ability to bind all commands without having to worrying about all keys without having to worrying about terminal compatibility issues, displaying images and multiple fonts on the same display of different sizes. I should have a recording of that somewhere here. Here we are, which I made earlier on my phone because I'm recording this on a laptop, where we can see how touch interaction works on an Android phone, so I can switch between buffers. And here I've connected an external keyboard, opening the Emacs website, and we have images that we can interact with, or we could resize them if we wanted to with the image resizing commands. Pinch to zoom works, so it does realize what touchscreen interactions are. With an external mouse, and for example, enabling context menu mode, I can even pop up little interaction windows, which one would usually also know from GUI Emacs. But TUI Emacs actually also supports them since a while now. And in this case, I'm demonstrating how even the touchscreen events can be inspected using the usual help system, and how context mode notices where we are and allows me to, for example, evaluate this specific region, which I've highlighted down there, binding a command to touchscreen scroll. Yeah. One should note that these additions, for example, touchscreen interaction, are not specific to Android, but they also are supported in other operating systems, such as, Wayland and Xorg, which are not operating systems, and Windows. Insofar, they have touchscreen devices. Have touchscreen support. One should mention, or I want to mention, that the main developer behind this feature, Polu, should be complimented for the additional effort he put into making sure that Emacs on Android, Emacs for Android, can be built using only a free software toolchain, which is certainly not something one has come to expect from working on Android applications, as usually you have to agree to some terms and conditions for Google-specific software. Final notice is that if you try and look for this online, there is an APK, which there are APKs you can find, but some of them might be outdated. To my, the best of my knowledge, Polu has Emacs, 30, Android, SourceForge. He has set up some system where, yeah, here in SourceForge, there are regular and, go away, there are regular and updated APK files which you can download to avoid having to build it yourself, but testing out the newest version in case there are some bugs which you'd like to report. Right. Next up, which key, oops, is a package which has now been moved from Elpa to the core. If you haven't heard of WitchKey before, the idea is, or the general pitch is that WitchKey is a additional documentation interface for Emacs for displaying various keys which you could input, or various keys and key maps that have been partially inputted. But a better way to demonstrate this or to explain this is just to show it. If we enable the WitchKey mode, it's a global minor mode, then I can press, for example, Control X, which is a prefix for the Control X key map, and then down here in the buffer, in this window down here, we see various commands which we could invoke and the keys to invoke them with. For example, if I wanted to say Control X I for insert file, then I just have to press I, which was, I mean, to highlight it once again, it should be down here, yes. And pressing I without having to repeat the entire key code again, with partial key code again, just works. This is different from the feature which Emacs has already, which is just to, if you have inputted the partial key code, you can press Control H, and then a help buffer pops up with a listing of all key bindings that start with Control X. The information is the same, the presentation is different, because now if I wanted to do Control X I have to repeat the entire key code again. So it's a matter of personal preference which you prefer. This is more of a traditional static approach, because of course I get a help buffer where I can which I can search and use in usual key commands, while WitchKey is more of a transient and modern, some might prefer that approach to this, to solving the same problem. Also, don't forget to check out the customization group for WitchKey, which has a number of options which you might or might not be interested in. Right, next up, Emacs 30 has built-in editor config support. If you have not heard of editor config before, I believe I've linked to it down here somewhere. Ah, there it is, editor config. This is a file format used to specify common common formatting rules in an editor agnostic way. You might compare it to dir local files, which is a sort of an S expression for setting file local variables in Emacs. But of course, this is restricted to the common subset of what all editors should understand. For example, indentation styles, whether you prefer tabs or spaces, and tab width, file encoding, and so on. So it's nothing too advanced, but it's something. Oh, it is a file format which one sees popping up more and more often in lots of projects which want to enforce a consistent indentation style or formatting rules for all editors in a project. And having this built in is certainly useful in Emacs, though one should note that it's not enabled by default, so you still have to enable the global minor mode, which is simply turning on this one option. Shouldn't be more than that, and then Emacs will respect the rules. If it finds a .editor config file in the project directory, then it will respect those rules without having to do anything else. Right. Next up, use package integration with PackageVC. For those not familiar with either of the two, or at least one of the two, usepackage is a popular configuration macro. What it does is it allows users to declaratively specify packages they would like to have installed and configured in their configuration file. So that, for example, if you copy your init.el from one system to another, it could bootstrap the entire configuration, downloading all the packages you want without having to manually do this on every system you'd like to use. This allows configurations to be self-encapsulated and portable. PackageVC is an extension of PackageEL, which allows installing packages from an alternative, or instead of using the standard way to install packages, which is just to download tarball and unpack it, byte compile it, and so on, it will fetch the files for a package directly from the source code repository and initialize it in such a way that PackageEL can work with it. So it's just a front end for installing packages. Even though these two were added to Emacs 29, we didn't have the time to work on the use package integration of PackageVC into use package, which has been changed now. So what we have with Emacs 29 is that there is a VC keyword for use package with which we can instruct use package to not download a package using tarball, but instead to fetch the source code from a source code repository. This is useful if you, for example, have packages which you yourself work on and know that you always want to have the development version of the package where you can directly commit changes you've made to the repository and push them upstream. Or if you know that you want to contribute to a package, you can use PackageVC to download the source code, have all the version control information, prepare a patch, and send it upstream. In these examples here, we have the first example instructs PackageVC to download the source code from a URL. So this is a Git URL where it will download the source code from, and in this case, choose the newest checkout of the source code, not the latest release. And down here we have another example. Well, I prefer to consider the following example here. If we just had written this, then PackageVC would use the metadata which an helper server provides to fetch the URL from the official repository of, in this case, BBDB, without having to. And so it would be more or less the same like this up here, with a single difference that PackageVC integration into use package doesn't check out the latest commit, but the latest release, just to keep configurations more deterministic by default. Of course, if you prefer to use latest commit, you can use a PackageVC install command, or just update the package manually yourself, which you can use using PackageVC upgrade. Next, I'd like to focus on a few features which one might necessarily realize directly, but will hopefully improve your experience with Emacs. First up in this list is a new JSON parser. Let's maybe show the source code for that one. Oh, not JSON.el. JSON.c. For those, the history of JSON parsing in Emacs started with Emacs 23, with the addition of JSON.el. This was the file which we had just opened a moment ago. This is a JSON parser in Emacs Lisp. It's fine, it does the job, but it can get slow if we have a situation like where Eglot uses a LSP server to communicate with, and the LSP server can get a bit chatty, sending a lot of JSON data, which all has to be parsed and garbage collected, which can slow down Emacs a bit. The situation was improved upon in Emacs 29 with the addition, or when JSON parsing was added to the core. This was the JSON.c file, which we see on this side, or the old version of the JSON.c file, which employed the Jansen library. It's the C library for parsing and accelerating JSON parsing in Emacs. This was good enough, or it certainly improved the situation for a lot of LSP clients. But in Emacs 30, the situation has been improved once more by implementing with the addition of a JSON parser directly in Emacs. So instead of using an external library, there's a custom JSON parser written in C in the Emacs core, which directly generates ELISP objects. The advantage to this approach and compared to the Jansen approach is that there's no intermediate format, which has to be allocated and memory managed and freed again, which of course incurs additional, performance overhead. Next to this, there's also a custom serializer for JSON contents. So translating a JSON object into a string, meaning that there is, or the consequence of this is that there is absolutely no dependency on Jansen anymore. This in turn means that now all Emacs users from Emacs 30 onwards can take advantage of this new JSON parser and don't have to worry about whether or not they have Jansen, this JSON parsing library, installed on their system or not, when they want to take advantage of this accelerated JSON parsing. Next up, another behind-the-scenes feature is that if you build Emacs on your own from source, you might know that if you wanted to use native compilation, so the translation of ELISP bytecodes to whatever the native assembly or native instruction set is on your system, you had to specify with native compilation when invoking the configure script. Otherwise, it would not have been enabled at all. With Emacs 30, this step is not necessary anymore. In case the configure script will automatically check if you have the libgcc jit library installed on your system, and if that is so, then native compilation will be enabled by default. In other words, if you have an issue with native compilation, or prefer not to use it for whatever reason, you now have to type without native compilation when compiling Emacs to prevent this from happening. But native compilation was added in Emacs 28 and has proven to be a very stable and useful feature for most people. So there's probably no reason to do this, and you can just invoke the configure script with one argument less. Right, and I'd like to finish up with a few smaller features, or a few smaller highlights. Maybe we can go back to the listing here. First up is, here we have it. There are a few new major modes based on the TreeSitter library. TreeSitter is this parser library which has been integrated into Emacs 29 that allows, or it allows the integration of external, specialized, and quick parsers into Emacs, which improve stuff like syntax highlighting, indentation, structural navigation, iMenu support, by simply having a better understanding of an ELISP file, or not an ELISP file, of, for example, a HTML file or a Lua file, a PHP file, than what people usually implement using regular expressions in traditional major modes. So a few new major modes which you can try out here. Another interesting feature is the completion preview mode. We can maybe try it out here in the scratch buffer. If I enable completion preview mode, this is a non-global minor mode, which will display completion options in inline using overlays. For example, if I start typing along the symbol like define, now we had a derived mode, it suggests me to, I can just press tab and then it completes the option here. But it's not actually modifying the buffer, it's not pressing. These are just overlays. So if I move around, it gets deleted. It wouldn't get saved if I were to save the buffer. The same also should work in a shell buffer. So if I enable completion preview mode here and start, in this case, I'm using the bash completion package, which provides additional completion information. So this is not only limited to programming systems, but anywhere where you have completion at points. In Emacs, I can start typing here, ignore backups, and it hints to the options which I have and allows me to complete them quickly. Another small feature is the package isolate command. What this does is it will start, or it will prompt me for for packages I have installed in my system, and will start an isolated, or like Emacs-Q ish instance of Emacs with only these packages installed. So for example, if I said I want slime and I want diff hl, then this is a new Emacs window. It's unrelated to the one around. It uses the same executable, of course, but will not load your configuration file or any other further customizations on your system. All it does, it will ensure that these packages, which are listed here, so in our case, slime and the dependencies of slime and diffhl in the system, so that I could, for example, as you can see here, diffhl mode works. Okay, this is not a version controlled file. Maybe if we take a look at, if I enable diffhl mode, it's enabled in this case. What diffhl mode does is it displays these version control changes in the fringe of a buffer. And even though this is a uncustomized version of Emacs, or uncustomized instance of Emacs, it was easy for me to load this one package, or these two packages and all the dependencies necessary. As you can imagine, the main purpose for this is to make debugging issues easier. If you want to report about an issue you have with a package. And if I close this, it's closed and everything's thrown away. Last up, a nice feature I think a lot of people will appreciate is if you are familiar with, let's open a text buffer, the meta queue key. Meta queue is traditionally bound to fill paragraph. What this means is that let's, for example, copy this text from here and squash it all into one line. If I press meta queue here, then the lines will be broken according to the fill column indicator up here. This is the traditional usage of meta queue, and it still works in text mode buffers, but in prog mode buffers, so any major mode inheriting prog mode, meta queue will now by default be bound to prog fill reindent defun. This had, what this basically, or to summarize the point, if you are editing a string then or a comment, then the comment will be filled. But if you are outside of a comment or outside of a string, then the defun, or the top-level construct in the programming language, will be re-indented. Let's try that out with maybe some file I have open here. If I'm in this, let's choose some function. Let's take this for example. If we forward all of this again, and I press meta queue in on this paragraph, then the paragraph gets re-indented. But if I'm down here and I choose to break the indentation and then press meta queue, then as you see, only the, and it all got, then it's practically selected the defun and re-indented everything without having me to move the points around in the buffer. So I think that's a really nice feature, which a lot of people can appreciate. It's one of those niceties which come from time to time. Right, so that was my overview of what's going to be new in Emacs 30. I hope that most people could take away something from this presentation and have something to look forward to try out after upgrading. As mentioned initially, as of recording, this release has not been completed yet. And if this is still not the case as soon as when you're seeing this video, please consider downloading and building Emacs 30 yourself. And if you have any issues, which is always the case, please report them to using Emacs, what's the command, report Emacs bug. That will pop up a mail buffer, and then you can describe your issue and send them out. All bug reports are valuable, even if they are false positives or duplicates. It doesn't matter, because when you take the time to submit a bug report, which describes something that's specific to your setup, which the developers might not have noticed or known about, then you are certainly helping out a lot of other people which might run into the same issue in the future. And especially with upgrades, it would be nice to figure out small problems which make upgrading difficult for some people. The idea is, of course, the ideal is, of course, to have no issues when upgrading from one version to another. Having said that, I thank you for your attention, and I'm saying goodbye.